If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
The education that's out there is there's a spectrum. On one end, you have colleges, which is great. It's great knowledge. But let's face it, if you decide tomorrow morning to become a real estate investor, you're not going back to university to do a degree in real estate. It doesn't make sense, right?
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Nikolai is the CEO and founder of MREX, as well as a professor in real estate financial engineering at MREX College. He's regarded as one of North America's leading experts in apartment investing with over $10 billion in analysis, underwriting, and transactions. A leading expert in real estate financial engineering, he's often called to stand as a teacher, advisor, and speaker. Prior to founding MREX, he founded and sold a real estate investment banking firm. He is also a successful multifamily real estate investor and developer specializing in heavy value add, opportunistic, and even ground up developments with over 30 apartment building acquisitions in the last 15 months. Ex-professional ice hockey player and three-time Olympic chief of human performance, Nikolai Ray. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Sorry I butchered your intro, man.
Hey, that's fine.
Yeah, you know, it used to be that I would edit those out and then you know, go back and redo it. Now I just don't care.
Who cares? It's just an intro.
It's just your life story. No, I'm kidding, man. This is awesome. I appreciate you taking the time to come on today.
My pleasure.
Yeah, same questions I ask everybody who comes on is, where'd you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Yeah, well, how I started, I was born in Quebec. My mother was French-Canadian, obviously, and my father was half Indian from Bengal, the northeast of India, and half British. So born in Quebec, and then right away, as soon as I was born, we moved to Los Angeles in California because my dad was a traveling blues musician and my mom was a theater actress. So essentially grew up in L.A. After the big 94 earthquake, we left L.A., came back to Canada because childhood was getting kind of rough and dangerous with gangs and all that stuff. And then the earthquake was kind of like the last straw for my parents after the riots and after the previous earthquake and all that. So they're like, let's go back to Canada for a quieter life, a bit more peace and less violence and less poverty and whatnot. And, you know, life was tough in L.A., especially in L.A., you're either broke or you're rich. So there's no in between.
Right.
So then, you know, at that time, I was just so focused on becoming a hockey player because when I lived in L.A., Wayne Gretzky got traded to the L.A. Kings. And that just created this huge buzz in Los Angeles. So as soon as we got back to Canada, I was like, oh, I'm playing hockey, Dad.
Yeah.
Got on a pair of skates and then didn't really look back. I became a professional ice hockey player, played until the age of 22, retired at 22 after a couple seasons. And I'd always continued on my studies as I was playing hockey. So I had studied at university in biomechanics specifically. I'd majored in biomechanics, minored in sports nutrition, and then did a postgrad in psychology specific to preventive medicine and preventive health. And that allowed me to work in my 20s in human performance and preventive medicine, worked with the Canadian Olympic teams, built a couple companies, ended up going bankrupt in one of my companies, and just had this big, you know, this big crisis when I was about 26, where I had a successful athletic career, didn't quite make it to the NHL, then started working in business, started a couple companies that went really well. I had all this success as a human performance specialist. And then all of a sudden I'm bankrupt, I'm homeless, I'm 26, and I'm like, what the hell am I going to do now? You know, where do I go from this? And essentially, you know, I decided to look at it in a positive light and be like, this is my PhD in business that I'm going through right now. Like, this is it. So I might as well make the most of it. And it made me, you know, reflect upon what I was doing. And I was like, you know what? I've had a lot of success in the human performance world, but it's not really what I want to do. I'm only doing this because it was an easy way for me to transition from my athletic career and kind of, you know, segue out of that. But what I really like is math, and biomechanics is essentially math, you know, that you're just applying to the human body. So I was like, I really like math and I've always loved real estate. I invested a bit passively. How about I apply my really advanced math knowledge plus my experience as an entrepreneur to real estate? So I founded with one of my buddies who was a broker at that time. I'm like, let's start a really cool company, and it'll be an investment banking firm, but in real estate, which doesn't really exist. We'll not only do brokerage on the buy and sell side, but we'll also take care of all the financing, whether it be agency debt, bridge loans, hard money. We'll take care of all the financial modeling and the portfolio management for the clients and the tax planning. And we ended up building that company within 3.5 years. We were doing $100 million of transactions annually. I ended up, you know, underwriting essentially over the last 10 years, over $10 billion worth of multifamily real estate. And I ended up selling that company and started what I'm doing now. I started the two companies I'm running right now, MREX and the MREX College. The MREX is a technology real estate company, a startup, and MREX College is essentially an educational institute for real estate investors. And yeah, that's kind of how I got here in a nutshell, in a big nutshell, but still it's, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. Oh my gosh. Like what? And you've covered so much ground that it's tough for me to know really where to zero in on this conversation. I guess let's start at the present maybe, and we'll work our way backwards.
Sure.
I think the investment banking firm discussion is probably a fun one just to kind of learn how you structured that. But let's start with MREX. So you said there's two parts to MREX. Can you define those again for us, what they do?
Right.
Yeah, let's start there.
So MREX itself is a real estate fintech startup. So the goal is to disrupt the real estate industry using technology. What we're essentially doing is we're in beta right now, in a private beta. We've created an app that is essentially, it's like kind of like a Bloomberg terminal, but for everyday real estate investors. So you have everything in the app. You have the entire market, be it multifamily properties that are for sale publicly and be it properties that aren't for sale. You have all the information that you could need on the properties to make decisions, whether you're you're interested in it, whether you like to make an offer, be it unsolicited or solicited. You can do all your modeling and underwriting directly in the app. You don't need an Excel spreadsheet. Everything is in there. And you can even actually track the portfolio, the properties you own at the moment in a portfolio management tool. And that's all in one app. The end goal of that is to eventually also create like a kind of a secondary market, kind of like a stock market also, to help passive investors get access to the deals. But what I wanted to create was kind of like an end-all be-all for the multifamily market, be it for active investors or GPs, and also for, you know, more passive investors or LPs or partners in joint ventures. And so that's essentially what MREX is. And then the MREX College it's just me sharing all my experience, knowledge, and that of other great, you know, great minds. And, you know, what I saw was that in the real estate market, like anything under like 5,000 units, so small to medium, big size syndicators, you know, everyday retail, multifamily investors, small cap investors, like none of the big institutional stuff, but, you know, just everyday people like me and you, essentially the education that's out there is there's a spectrum. On one end, you have colleges, which is great. It's great knowledge. Like, but let's face it, if you decide tomorrow morning to become a real estate investor, you're not going back to university to do a degree in real estate. Like, it doesn't make sense, right?
No.
And anyway, that information, that knowledge is very theoretical. It's not applied. In certain cases, it is. Like, there are certain schools that do, like MIT, Harvard, obviously. But you're not going back to MIT or Harvard just to buy a couple of apartment buildings, right?
No, for sure.
It doesn't make sense. And then on the other side, you have coaching programs, mentorship programs. You know, there's a ton of them out there. They're really great. They all have their strengths and their weaknesses, but they're very focused on, one, getting people to get into action, to make acquisitions; two, to network with people, because obviously, like with Fannie and Freddie, you have to have, you know, essentially a KP who has experience and blah, blah, blah. But there was no real institution kind of in the middle that is taking all this university quality knowledge in a more applied and practitionership form and helping investors who are in the market become more knowledgeable and have a stronger knowledge base to be in the action that they're in. And that's what we've essentially done.
Wow. How do you monetize any of that?
How do you monetize any of that? Well, you can't get into that if you're thinking about monetization, number one. Like that's in fact, that's a really great question. I've never been asked that question, but I don't do anything of that stuff to monetize it. Like, essentially, I'm in a place in my life, and, you know, God bless, you know, I've been doing business for 15 years. And after my 15 months of hell and my 15 years of business, you know, I've only had success apart from a short, very short period of time. So I'm in a place where I don't have to monetize. I'm building things because I want to build them. I like building them, you know, and I can build them for the next 25 years and be good. Like I could, because otherwise I could just sit around here around my house right by the lake and just chill for pretty much ever, not do anything. So when you build stuff like that, then they just monetize by themselves. Like people end up seeing what you're doing. Like that's so valuable. That's so cool. So it becomes easy to monetize it. So, I mean, our college here in the province of Quebec, which is the equivalent of a state, let's say like Tennessee, it's a small state. Let's call it a state for all our friends in the US, including yourself. There's only 8 million people in Quebec. It's a small state, essentially. We've had in the last 5 years, over 5,000 investors come through our school.
Wow.
Just an area the size of the Miami Tri-City area, essentially. So, you know, people are paying for our courses. We have, you know, on-demand, very short courses. We have a flagship certification program in real estate financial engineering. And we actually have an accelerator program that kind of resembles the tech startup accelerator programs. And, you know, people are fighting to get into our program. So that's one way how you monetize it. And the application itself, for the moment, we're still in beta. So that hasn't been monetized. That's just been me pumping all my money into it. But yeah, eventually it'll monetize some way or another.
Yeah. And I guess the deeper question on the college side, I understand that. And I guess more, let's talk more on the app side.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's peel back my question further. The need in the marketplace that you are finding to be filled, what is that need more precisely? Because once you find a need, obviously, then like you said, it'll monetize itself. If there's right. a need, you're providing a service, it'll monetize itself. So Absolutely. Let me ask a clear question. What exactly is the need that you're, the gap you're filling?
The overarching need is the democratization of the real estate market.
What does that mean? I'm sorry, but bring it down to an idiot's terms.
It means making it accessible, because at the moment, it's not that. It was really not accessible 5-10 years ago because, you know, the internet was kind of arriving. So essentially, if you wanted to invest in multifamily, you had to be really well connected because it was an insider's market.
Right. And
in some terms, it still is quite an insider's market. Like, let's not kid ourselves, you know.
Right. Agreed.
I mean, you could be a surgeon. I don't care if you have $1 million to invest. Tomorrow morning, you want to get into the market. You need to know people. Otherwise, guess what? You know, your money is not worth that much because there's a whole bunch of money running after deals.
Right.
So what that means is I wanted to create an app that allows, number one, guys like us to have the same tools and the info that, say, a REIT has or a private equity firm has or a hedge fund has. Because, I mean, why shouldn't we have that same info and the same tools just because we're not worth $500 million? Like that, I don't see why. Like multifamily is supposed to be everyday man's investment, right? So that's one way. And the second way is, well, for that surgeon, why shouldn't he be able to access the market? Or why shouldn't my mom be able to access the market easily? Like, I mean, the multifamily market is probably the asset class. And this is all obviously opinionated, but for me, my opinion is it's of all investment asset classes, if you're looking at overall consistent returns versus risk, it blows everything out of the water. But yet no one really has access to it except us and insiders and whatnot, because where do you find the properties? Where do you find the data to know like how much to pay for a property? How do you save enough money to get into the deal like itself? Like if you're only buying properties alone, you're going to need hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like a 5-unit in Nashville, you need at least $125,000 down payment to do that, right?
Absolutely.
And then if you want to be an LP, well, how do you find the LPs? How do you know what the syndication? How do you know which GPs are actually worth putting money behind them? So that's the overarching idea of what I wanted to attack. And then specifically, well, I attack a couple of things with the app. The first thing is, well, there's no centralized marketplace for multifamily properties. So that's the first thing we're attacking. There's no place where you can have actual actionable data to help you make better decisions. There's CoStar and Reonomy and all that, but that's a trove of like raw data that you kind of have to, I mean, if you don't have a base in statistics and finance, it's hard to like pull data out of CoStar and Reonomy and be like, oh yeah, I'm buying that property. Like that kind of Robin Hood moment doesn't really exist, you know, like if we're to use a stock market term. And finally, to be able to just track the values of your properties or your portfolio in real time, you know, like a stock market investor would. I mean, if you buy stocks on Robin Hood, 2 months from now and I ask you, hey, Sam, how are your stocks doing and how have they performed? You know, you open up your app and in 10 seconds you can show me.
Sure.
Now we're investing hundreds of thousands of dollars and in some cases millions of dollars in properties. And it's a hard thing to be able to like actually follow the value of your properties. You got to get an appraisal. You have to build all these crazy spreadsheets. You have to update them. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there is that. And I liked your analogy earlier where you said you're going to build the Bloomberg terminal for real estate. Because yeah, I mean, by the time that we sit down, I mean, I was filling out a statement yesterday for a project. It was a financial statement. And I'm sitting here going, wait, okay, so this is that. But then let me get to this spreadsheet and pull that up and say, okay, how far into this? What's the new value of it based on? And here I am doing these complicated, you know, jumping through hoops, trying to figure out what stuff that I own is. Like, yeah, exactly. So how do you solve that in, and that's something I own. So how are you proposing to pull that data and make it real time? I guess that's the hurdle I see in what you're proposing. I love it. I mean, and obviously you've thought this through because you're sinking your own money into it. So,
oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. No angel investors, no VCs. It's all 100% backed by us.
Right. So you believe in it. So how are you acquiring and aggregating such large volumes of data in a meaningful way?
Well, there are two ways. Essentially, I'd say even three ways. So there's public data.
Sure.
You know, the internet now is a trove of public data. There's whole kinds of, like, people don't even realize the type of data that you can actually use to help make better real estate investment decisions. Like, I'm not talking about like CoStar stuff. I'm talking about like even, you know, search engine data can help you determine which market you should be entering, which you shouldn't be. Like, you know, there's a whole bunch of crazy stuff out there right now that people don't know about. So public data, paid data. So like, say you buy data from a provider, like, you know, we talked about CoStar, Reonomy. There's a whole bunch of other ones. There's, you know, hundreds of data providers that just resell data essentially.
Sure.
So you pull, you know, you go and buy that data. And, you know, in public data, there's also like census information, stuff like that. And then the third thing is obviously user data, which is kind of like the one that ties everything together. So if we can properly organize and clean public data and paid data, give that to you as the owner, as the investor, in exchange, you're going to give us also your data because you're going to want to input your information in your portfolio manager and you're going to, you know, model properties that are for sale and this and that. And we're seeing, you know, what you're doing. Well, then that comes, helps and populates our own database. And now we have a database that is just, you know, entirely unique and allows us to do exactly what I was talking about. So.
Man, that's awesome. I'm looking forward. When do you guys think you will be going live with that? I know you're in beta, but what's the...
Yeah, so we're in beta, private beta here in Montreal. We'll probably go live in Quebec in the fall, like around the end of the fall. And I'd say probably private beta in the US will open up around January to March. And then public opening in the US will probably be around the fall of 2022.
Wow, man, that's super cool. That's super cool. Nikolai, you've done a whole bunch of different things in a very short number of years. And I love your ambition and drive to continue to innovate, even when, you know, like you said, you could probably just sit back and do nothing. So that's really cool that you're continuing to do great stuff. Let's jump here into the final four. The first question is this: what is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Every dollar invested in your education and knowledge and your network is $1,000 on the back end.
Love it. Love it. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
Being open to being wrong is the one thing that I like doing. So I like, you know, I use social media a lot to, I'll say like really kind of wild things just to kind of piss people off and you know, because I want to create a conversation and discussion,
right,
to see if there's something that'll just, you know, that can distill through that and to better my own knowledge and my own thinking and how you're looking at certain things. Because knowledge is one thing, but it's first level. How you're applying that knowledge and you're using that and perceiving things and then interpreting things is really where you want to get to. And that can only be done through like discussion and you know, riffing off of other people and yeah.
Right. That's an art that is becoming less and less popular.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But having discussions where you are willingly entering in with, you know, expecting contrarian views.
Right.
It's absolutely valuable.
Being open to them too.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, that's super cool. Good for you. Good for you for sticking your neck out there like that. Number three is this: when it comes to investing in the world, what is one thing you are doing to make the world a better place?
Affordable housing, I'd say. And you know, redeveloping really destroyed properties. My own personal investments, we essentially just buy like the crappiest, scariest, most rundown apartment buildings, and we just, you know, completely rebuild them. We put in between $90,000 to $150,000 a door into what we're doing if we don't tear it down. So that's kind of the first step. Where our goal is to revitalize very rough areas that have kind of been left to pretty much die off. And then the second part is building affordable housing. We're the next couple of years, we're probably going to be building a lot of affordable housing. So that's definitely something important for someone who, like me, who grew up poor and who, as Drake would say, started from the bottom. Now I'm here. Well, you know, it's got to be worth something a bit more than just filling my pockets, you know?
Right, right. No, that's absolutely cool. There's plenty of that here in Memphis, so I'll be sending you some addresses.
Absolutely.
With some abandoned apartment complexes that you can help revitalize. Man, that's great. Nikolai, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn are probably my three major ones personally. As for MREX College, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram, you know, we're pretty much everywhere. So trying to share as much good information and knowledge. I think knowledge is meant to be shared and not kept to oneself. So, you know, if you want to chat, I'm always open.
Man, that's awesome. Nikolai, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.